When you have a big decision to make, what criteria do you use? Is there maybe a qualification or two that you look for before you make that decision to say, okay, if I see that, that's an indication to me that I'm ready to go forward? One of the first qualifications had better be, is this decision in keeping with my commitment to obey God? Has there ever been a point in time in your life where you realized the seriousness of this Christian journey that you were on, and you chose by the power of the Holy Spirit, from this moment on, that I choose to obey the Father, where you get to a point to where you say, whatever the question is, Father, the answer is yes? That's easier said than done, because we're faced with some difficult decisions today. When disobedience takes place in a person's life through a choice or a decision that they have made, is there an immediate awareness that I have been disobedient? There should be. The greater drawing and closeness that you have with the Father, when there is disobedience, there should be an awareness of that, of an affront of what you have done to a holy God. I look also for the lesson. Father, if I've disobeyed you in this area, if I have not made this decision properly, what do I need to learn from this? The person who has probably not committed their life to a life of obedience is usually going to be more concerned of, how is this affecting me? How has this embarrassed me? How has this disappointed others around me and myself more than have I disappointed God? Has there ever been a point in time in your life when you said, Lord, that's my lifestyle. That's what I want. That's that committed obedience that I want. Whatever you require of me, Lord, before I know the answer is yes. That's what I want. Now, does that mean I'll always obey Him? Obviously not. We still are fallible. We still sin. We will still stumble. But that means that I have taken that step to purposefully, willfully live a life of obedience. There will be struggles, but the bent of my heart tells me I'm going towards obedience. Sure, we'll struggle. Now, it's interesting what God says in the Word of God about obedience. In fact, says a lot about the blessings of obedience. So if you'll take your Bible, find Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. We see in this passage a series of blessings, and then followed by a series of curses that God gives to the children of Israel who have either chosen to be obedient or they have chosen to be disobedient. Now, all of us try to raise our children to be obedient, and usually there are consequences when they are disobedient. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2, "Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, be careful to do His commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth." Verse 2, "And all the blessings, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God." Now, verse 3 all the way through verse 14 are a listing of what those blessings will be. And obviously they will change from nation to nation and person to person and people group to people group. But look down at verse 15. "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." What he's saying here is that there will be blessings from a life of obedience that will be also blight and heartache for those who do not. Now, there's a biblical principle that has always been true. It has never changed and never will change, and that is, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. You don't get peas out of corn. You plant obedience, you're going to get blessings. When the Bible says that God is going to curse a nation, for example, He's not referring to profanity or swearing, that is, but a declaration of His intended judgment upon that person or upon that nation. And if I'm a believer, I will not come under God's judgment or wrath. We see that throughout Scripture, but I will come under His chastisement. And He does that because He loves me. That's why you discipline your kids and grandkids, because you love them enough, you care about what they do and what they shouldn't be doing. And God knows that a lifestyle of obedience is learned by us. It is not automatic. I've talked to this about before. You don't send your kids to disobedience school. They figure that out all by themselves. But from years and years until finally they reach adulthood and then leave you, you are working in the realm of obedience so they can leave you and then hopefully live a life that will be productive and profitable. So this morning I want to give you several principles on how we can spiritually learn obedience, because it doesn't happen automatically. Yes, we're in Christ, we're a new creature if we have a relationship that is growing and abiding with Him, but the obedience is learned. It doesn't come naturally. We still got these old bodies of flesh that still will drag us and pull us over into disobedience. And so we have to learn that obedience. So let me give you several of these this morning. Number one, we need to learn to wait upon the Lord in prayer. This will help you in your obedience, is learning to wait upon the Lord in prayer. What I mean by that, simply that there may be some things the Lord may require of us that we do not know how to do or even want to do. Maybe a decision that needs to be made. We just don't know really what direction to go. And we just need to slow things down and just wait in prayer. It's at that time that we should wait upon the Lord to get direction and guidance from Him, not just, well, it looks pretty good, let's go. And usually there's enough testimony in this room that can probably say, I've done it that way, and a lot of times it doesn't work out very well. It's at that time we should wait upon the Lord for His direction and guidance. Now, I must learn the lesson of waiting upon the Lord. That is hard to do in this automatic 90 miles an hour society that we live. Because waiting, being patient, is truly a virtue today. Let me give you several. Just write these down. Don't worry about trying to keep up with me. Psalm, they're all out of Psalm. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalm 37:34, wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. Psalm 62:1, my soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. Psalm 62:5, my soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. Over and over, just read through the Psalms, and you'll learn how to wait upon the Lord in prayer, because that's the life of the psalmist. And don't miss this principle. It's worth showing up for today. God is under no obligation to bless what I do apart from waiting on Him for direction. Did you hear that? God is under zero obligation to bless what I do unless I have waited upon Him in prayer for direction about matters of life. We jump on our train and off we go and say, God bless us as we go. And assume God's just going to automatically buy into whatever we got going on. A good example of disobedience and what will occur in our life is the example of Abraham, when God said, I'm going to give you a son through which all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And it was as if right there God just cut it off. Nothing else. Years went by. No son, no son, no son. See, God doesn't always tell us the who, what, when, and where He's going to do something. I don't like that. But He just says, here's what's going to happen. Here's what you need to do. I'm not going to tell you the who, I'm not going to tell you the what, I'm not going to tell you the why. In time, I will. But just do it. But until God gives us clear direction on which way to move, we should not move. God is well aware of what time it is. I'm not necessarily talking about this kind of time. I'm talking about time in your circumstances, time. You learned this a long time ago in VBS, probably. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what? He'll make your what straight? Path straight. That's foundational. We teach kids that, and yet when we get adults, we seem to forget Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well, Abraham listened to Sarah, who suggested, you go ahead, honey, and you take Hagar, her handmaid, you have a child by her, and let's see if God will bless that. Well, He did, and God didn't bless that. It was a blight on Abraham's life from this day forward, and to the day, the consequences in 2015 of June are still evident of that sin 4,000 years ago. You can go home today, turn on the TV, and within probably before the day is out, you'll see some news report of the descendants of Abraham going either the Isaac route or the Ishmael route, and those two descendants of where God said, I got a plan for you, Abraham, and it's going to be through this promised son, Isaac, but he had another plan. He said, how about we go through Hagar? He did have a son named Ishmael, and the descendants of Ishmael are the Arabic nations, and the descendants of Isaac, which are the Jewish people, to this day are still fighting over a piece of dirt that God said belongs to you. 4,000 years later, don't tell me the long arm and consequences of sin don't stretch out. They do. How many times we get ourselves in a spiritual nest because we just don't want to listen to God just right. Well, you know, God's not telling me anything right now. Sometimes God requires us to wait in silence because he's getting us ready to hear a decision that he wants us to know about. We're not at that point of trusting God with it. And so what happens? By waiting, sometimes God may surface something in my life because he's not revealing this to me yet, and I'll wait on him. And so God reveals that I need to deal with, and then he releases the answer. I've lost count of how many times he's done that in my life. So waiting on the Lord in prayer. Number two, develop a love for the Word of God. Develop a love for the Word of God is a way that I'll receive the blessings of him. You know this passage, Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. In other words, how do you find his way? There it is, in the Word. Times have changed, but the principles here have not. The person who lives obediently before the Lord is a person who's going to be meditating upon the Word of God, finding out and searching out God's ways. It is the Bible, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word that should be my counselor. Psalm 119, you will know this one well. Psalm 119, verse 23 and 24. Even though princes sit and talk against me, thy servant meditates on thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. This is where you get your counsel from. The Word gives me counsel in my decision-making process. You know what your Bible ought to become? Not only should this be a counselor for you, this ought to be a biographical sketch of your spiritual journey. I hope you write in your Bible. If this is to be placed in a museum when you're dead and gone because there's not a shred of a touch of any ink pen or a pencil or any underline in here, then you missed it. These do not belong in a museum. They belong to be worn out by you from your writing and journaling and allowing the Lord to speak through you and teach you and show you principles, and date when God speaks to you about something. Put a date out there so you can go back. Those will be days of encouragement. You go back 1972. I can remember when God did this for me. 1992, whatever the date may be. Use those times as ways to remember God's faithfulness to you. Number three, not only develop a love for his Word, not only wait for the Lord in prayer. Number three, we're headed for a collision. We're headed for a collision with human reasoning. Human reasoning. Many times, God may direct us to a decision or to a project to accomplish what sounds contrary to human reasoning. Now listen carefully. I did not say God would lead you to violate a biblical principle to make a decision. That's not what I said. I said you may be headed for a collision with human reasoning. Might not sound reasonable. Might even sound a little foolish. But God always gives clear direction from Scripture before you need to make a move, because God sees the past, the present, and the future. Now, aren't you glad Noah didn't listen to human reasoning? What a fool he looked like to the world. Silliness, ridiculous. Rain's coming? What's that? We're going to build a boat. What does the boat do? The boat floats on the water. Maybe a good idea if you live close to the Red today. Build a boat. Look at Acts, if you would. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and following. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. That was against human reasoning. Said, no, this is what God said to do. It's what we're going to do. Now, in our society today, where it is God bless everybody, name it and claim it, God heals everybody, everything's wonderful, whatever happened to this verse, and indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. Whatever happened to that verse? Now, if you see where you are headed for some decision down the road that might put you at odds with human reasoning, with human logic, with the rules of the game today, will you do what that says or will you do what God says? If Eastwood Baptist Church is going to obey God, they may one day clash with this community. There may come a point in time where what Eastwood Baptist Church is doing may not be looked upon by the Houghton community, the Bossier community, and surrounding communities as favorable. And you're going to have a decision to make. Do we do what God says, or do we obey the laws of man? I'm not talking about purposely being rude and unkind and mean-spirited and intolerant, but I'm talking about if God says this is what we need to do, we're going to do it and let the chips fall where they may. We've talked about this before. That's the part we live as a follower of Christ. You will not be understood every time at work. You will not be understood every time at school. You will not be understood every time by anyone outside these four walls when you make a decision to follow Christ that may look contrary to what the world says do. If you're going to learn to walk in obedience, we're possibly going to have to deal with some collision with human reasoning. Number four, God will allow us to walk in the dark. Notice what I did not say. God will never cause us to walk in darkness. Darkness throughout the pages of Scripture has always been synonymous with a life of disobedience and sin. But I did say that God will allow you to be in the dark, not to cause you to walk in darkness. That may mean that sometimes God will lead us to make a decision to go in a direction we just simply do not understand, but God has clearly given us an open door to go do that. Before we take that journey or make that decision, we may naturally want to recoil from that because we don't see the road ahead. Sometimes God will force us to walk where we've never walked before. I've lost track of how many times I have been hesitant to do something because I did not see my way clear. I did not want to do it, but yet God clearly opened this door, but I was a little unsure. Perfect example, 12th chapter of Genesis. God spoke to Abraham, told him to get up out of a land. He was to go to a new land that he had never seen before. Abraham, you don't know where this is, but I'll guide you. God didn't say, now here's where it is. You go about 25 miles this way, you take a left, you go about 17 miles that way, then you go about another 100 miles up straight ahead. It'd be nice if he would have did all that, but he didn't. Have you realized you can't make God tell you anything? He's just not going to do it. God told Abraham he would show him as he went. You take a step of obedience, and I'll show you the next step. You can pray and pray and pray until you are blue in the face, and God may not show you yet what you're to do. But he will show you how to take that next step. And when you take that next step of obedience, he then shows you the one after that. Now for Abraham, that trip to leave his homeland to go to a new home, I'm sure that was a little dim, a little bit difficult to see. But my friend, you talk about a trip that was absolutely pitch black for him was when God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, I want you to go to Mount Moriah. I want you to offer him to me. Now, brother, you're talking about a pitch black trip. An internal war. God never said to Abraham, here's top 10 reasons for why you need to go take your son to Mount Moriah. Just said, go. Go. That trip was very dark, even to the point of raising the knife. And God said, that's enough. That's enough. There's two things on the screen I want you to not forget about this area. Number one, it's never dark to God, and it's only dark beyond the first step that you've taken. Now, God sees all the way to the end, but you see only where you've initially taken that first step. Every step I take, God brightens the way, so when I come to that next step, I know what it is. If I take a step, then when I'm there, I'm okay because I made the step. I take another step, God blesses me, He reveals a little more light. And you know what happens? When I turn and look back, I go, it's all light. Because now I see where I've been. Well, God saw that all along. I couldn't see it, but God could. God didn't say walk in darkness, but we are to walk through the dark, and He will give us enough light as we go through to get to the other side. And isn't that a life of faith? And watch what happens. When we look behind, then we see everything. How many of you can look back on things in your life and go, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this circumstance? And then years later, you look back and go, now I know why I went through that. Now I know why God led me through that 10 years ago. Now I know why I went through that 20 years ago. Now I know why I went through that last week. And sometimes we like to see that result come pretty quick as to why we're in it. Sometimes it may take years and years, if not decades. We can expect at times to have to walk in the dark. Number five, we can expect struggles. We can expect struggles. Why struggles? Well, for openers, there's some things we just don't want to do. God's given us an open door, but I don't want to go through that. No, I'm very comfortable right here where I'm at, here at Eastwood Baptist Church. I don't want to do all this. We play these games with God like He doesn't know what's going on. And we get so excited. Oh, God, this is a great challenge here at Eastwood. This is so wonderful for us. I'm so excited about this. Just stop that. God knows it's not for you. You're not fired up about that. You're not fired up about this change over here in your life, this change over here at work, this change over here in a relationship, a friendship, whatever. God knows you're not excited about that. We try to put on this big spiritual, oh, God, thank you, forgive me. We're not really that fired up about it. Go ahead and tell God, God, I don't like this. It's not what I want to do. I really like it right here where it was. We are creatures of comfort and habit. We all know that. And God, I like it right here, and I really don't want to go over there and sit in that chair right over there. I really like sitting in this chair right here. Just go ahead and tell God that. He knows it. We try to put on this fake spiritualness. Another reason we struggle in our disobedience is sometimes we're fearful of failing at something. God, there's a new ministry over here. Brother Don's called me about this over here, and I really don't want to do that, but I'm afraid I'm going to mess that up. But Don somehow thinks I can do this, and I don't know why you're telling him that, because that's not what I want to do. And so sometimes we put off. Go ahead, take that step, see what's going to happen. If God doesn't bless that, if there's no fruit, then maybe, okay, maybe that was not where I needed to be. Maybe I need to go over here and go this direction. I found that God, the blessings will come your way if you are serving and active and focused on ministry rather than just sitting here and say, God, I'm just waiting on my ministry here. You just drop that anytime you want to. I'm waiting on you. Ever tried to steer a parked car? Kind of hard to turn that steering wheel, isn't it? But you get it going down the road, you can take one finger on that power steering and you can kind of make that car or truck go anywhere you want it to go. Same way with us and the Lord. If we're busy and going and serving and active, God can nudge us a little bit this way, a little bit that way to put us where we need to be in service so that the most fruit will be produced. I have on many occasions just had to kind of have a little fit with God and just say, God, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it because I'm trusting in you. I'm going to live by faith that this is what you've told me to do. Listen, Jesus struggled at the cross, didn't he? God understands when you and I don't want to do something. Notice I did not say he did not excuse us, but he understands us. It's not an excuse to not do it. Here's the truth you can hang on to. Whatever God requires of us, it is always going to be for our best and His glory. Don't forget that. Whatever God's requiring you to do, whatever open door is for you, whatever opportunity you have before you, if God's done it, it is for your best and for His glory. There is no, don't write this one down. There's no sin in the struggle. Say that with me out loud. There's no sin in the struggle. We are shoes of clay, feet of clay. It's only sin when I yield to the flesh and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going over here. That's when it's sin. There's no sin in the struggle. Number six, no substitute. No substitute for obedience. No substitute for obedience. Now, I work that truth just about every message I share with you, somewhere woven into a message, and I do it on purpose. No substitute for obedience. You cannot substitute your good works, your good gifts, your material gain for obeying God, because so many times church members don't want to deal with over here, so they'll run over here and they'll go get real busy and look like they're serving the Lord, so God won't remember what He told you to do over here. Kids will do that to you too. Kind of the old shell game distracts you over here and gets you focused, and you forget what you've told them to do over here. I'm here to tell you, my friend, if God has put His finger on some area in your life, He's not going to forget about it. He's not going to let that go. Let me ask you a question. Nobody knows the answer to this but you and the Lord. Just in the last 15, 20 minutes, has God already put His finger on something in your life that you've been hopefully kind of playing a little shell game with God and hoping He would forget about this area over here so you go over here and work and serve and do something else and He'd forget about it over here? If He already has, my friend, He's not going to let that go. For you to really have the blessings of obedience, deal with what He's already put His finger on. It'll make a major difference in your life. The blessings will be so much better. Seventh and finally, leave all the consequences. Leave all the consequences of our obedience to God. That is, once we obey, stop worrying about it. Stop fretting about it. Stop being anxious about it. I didn't say it wouldn't be a little painful at times, but no need to worry, no need to fret, no need to be anxious. God assumes two things when you leave the consequences to Him. Father, I'm stepping out. I'm doing this. You've opened this door for me. I'm going through it. Now, this is your ministry here, Father. I'm stepped out. I'm being obedient. This is yours. I'm going to be faithful. He enables you, number one, with the ability to accomplish the task that He's called you to. He's going to give you the ability to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe out of your comfort zone, maybe a stretch for you, but He's going to give you the ability to do it. And whatever happens as a result of your obedience, God will take the responsibility for it. If something goes, a lug nut gets loose over here, say, Father, your lug nut's loose. You got to get this thing tightened up. You told me to take a step of obedience. I did. I went out and did this. It's your responsibility. It's your ministry. I'm just your servant. You got to fix this. That didn't catch Him by surprise. You and I don't have to worry about the consequences of our obedience. What God says, just be obedient and let me take care of that. When we say to God that we're going to worry, we're going to wring hands, and we're going to fret about this, what that really says is, God, I'm not sure You can handle this. I really need to put my hands all over it. I really need to work on this. I really need to get this resolved because I'm not sure You by Yourself can do this. If you and I have chosen to follow God in obedience no matter what, there is a tremendous freeing and liberating process in that. Because you know what? You don't own it. It's not yours. We got so many Christians need to get out of ownership and just get management. You know, if it's not yours, if your name's not on it, if God's name's on all this stuff you got, that frees you up. You just, God, this is yours. God, this is yours. You got to get this resolved. It all belongs to You. There'll still be stumbles along the way. But when you choose to lock arms with Him, there's no need to worry about the consequences because He is there every step. The blessings of obedience. Make sure those are on your agenda and not verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, where God said to the children of Israel, if you do not Here are the curses. Here's the blight that's going to come your way in your lives. Don't go down that road. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being willing to bless us like you do. Father, we are undeserving. We are feet of clay. We are flawed, still at times very sinful saints. Forgive us, Father, where we have allowed our fretting and our worrying to take hold in such a way that we don't want to take a bold step of obedience. Father, I pray for this church as they take steps in the future. May you give them boldness and courage to be strong for you. And may that filter down to each and every church member. For that person that may be here that's unsure about their salvation, unsure about their walk with you, Father, may you give them the courage to take that step of faith today, to say, I need a new start. I need a fresh start in Christ. Give them that ability today, Father, and we'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me as Don and the team leads us? Altry and Brad will be at the front. You need somebody to pray with. You just need to come to the altar.